Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Mergers and Acquisitions Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, big news, big news. There are reports floating around that General Motors approached Ford about merging their operations. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did. Apparently, Ford told him to go jump in a Chrysler.
Yeah, and now GM is talking to Chrysler about possibly merging with them. Very interesting, huh?
Well, of course, this raises one very dicey question.
It certainly does. What? What's the question?
Well, the vehicle names, of course.
Oh, you mean whether it's going to be Cryoders or General Meisler?
No, well, I guess. But I meant the names of the individual vehicles. You know, for instance, like Dodge has the Magnum and Chevy has the Corvette. You put together Magnum and Corvette and you get what? The Maggot.
The Dodge Maggot. I like it.
Well, you take the Caravan from one company and the Malibu from the other.
And you get the Caribou.
Exactly.
And in a lot of cases, you come up with more appropriate names. Like you combine the Jeep Patriot and the Chevy Silverado, and you get the Jeep Potato or Potato.
Oh, excuse me, of course. Yes.
Car just sits there.
Now, with the Buick Lucerne and the PT Cruiser, you get the Buick Loser. And speaking of Buick, they have the Enclave, right?
Yeah.
You put that with Chrysler's Crossfire, and you get the Buick Onfire.
I think we've seen one before.
Yeah, in the garage last week. Well, we could go on and on all day with these.
I think we already have.
All right, in that case, just one more. If you took a Chevy Long Bed and combined it with a Dodge Diplomat, you'd end up with a Chevy Laundromat.
I could use one of those. That's a great idea for a vehicle. Washer and dryer in the back, cleans your clothes while you drive around. I love it.
It is a pretty good idea. Well, look, if you have a legitimate car issue you want to bring up with us, our number here is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melinda calling from Meridian, Idaho.
What's up, Melinda?
Well, I have got a Jetta, Volkswagen Jetta TDI. It's a 2003 with 156,000 miles on it, and it squeaks like a squeaky toy. You know,
yeah.
And it doesn't matter if I'm driving on a rough surface or if I'm pulling out of my driveway or into a parking lot, the thing just squeaks constantly. And, I mean, after a while, it's kind of embarrassing. I'm almost looking behind me, seeing whether or not I'm leaving something in the road as I'm driving down.
So no matter what speed you're going at.
Doesn't matter what speed.
Even if you're backing up?
Yep. Uh-huh.
But you have to be moving.
I have to be moving.
Sure.
It's just if I'm on a bumpy road or if I'm, you know, moving in and out of like from a higher elevation on the road surface to lower or vice versa.
So it's especially squeaking when the suspension is active. Is that accurate? For example, if you were driving on a very, very smooth road, you might not have any of those in Meridian, but if you did, if you did, would the squeaking be minimized?
Yes, it would be.
Aha!
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 Aha! I like that.
So you have, this is an 03, so you must have like 109,000 miles on it.
No, she's got 156. She just told us.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I drive a lot.
I must have been out getting coffee.
You gotta pay attention.
I have two beverages in front of me here, and neither one of them looks like coffee, but I really want to start an office cup. All right, well, here's what's wrong, I think.
Okay.
I think you have a dried-up ball joint, and the suspension noises that you're getting are because the ball joints, which are located at the wheels, allow the wheels to turn when you turn left and right, and also allow the suspension
to move up and down.
To move up and down the ball joint. It's just like any ball and socket joint, you know, like your shoulder. It has 360 degrees of freedom, except that the ball joint has lubrication in it, or used to have lubrication.
Yeah.
And when that lubrication dries up or gets used up, you get it sounds like a squeaky hinge.
That's it.
Yeah.
And the next thing you're going to hear is this, whoop, whoop, because the ball joint
is going to break.
It's going to break,
right.
and that wheel is going to fall off.
Oh, great.
It won't actually fall off. The rest of the suspension, the McPherson strut will hold it. But you would think it had fallen off. The car will list badly to one side. Coast Guard vessels will come to your rescue. So you got to get it looked at because either it's a ball joint or a tie rod end, but it's definitely something in the suspension.
How long has it been doing this?
Well, for a while.
56,000 miles?
Is it a year?
Oh,
6 months?
No, longer.
Longer than
longer,
6 months?
Yeah.
No, it's probably nothing.
And you haven't taken it anywhere.
Well, I've taken it in when I have the oil change and have it lubed and all, and I've mentioned it to them, and they said they'd look at it, and then they kind of shrugged their shoulders like, whatever.
Oh, so you're going to one of those quickie lube places.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, first of all, there's nothing to lube on this car.
Oh.
So the lube is done at the factory when the car is built, and there's no provision to lube anything.
Oh.
So they ain't lubing nothing, and if they could lube something, the noise would have gone away.
Okay.
But they can't, so you have to take it to a real shop.
Take it to the dealer or something like that?
Or to a repair shop where they do general repairs and tell them you think a wheel's about to fall off. And when you see the dollar signs registering in the guy's eyeballs there, you'll know that you're in the right place.
Okay. Is this kind of expensive to repair?
Not as expensive as a wheel falling off.
That makes sense.
So yeah. you got to get it done. And it's very dangerous.
And it's dangerous.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate it. Hey, thanks so much
and
for that.
Do
I'll
it
look
tomorrow.
Into it right away.
Do it tomorrow, really.
I will.
See you, Linda.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron from Oklahoma City.
OKC.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Okay, I drive a 2002 Ford Ranger, and I scraped the side of my truck along a pole, and it didn't do any damage, but it hit the back of the side view mirror and knocked the mirror out of it.
Oh, so you really hit mostly the mirror.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Did you scrape up the side of the truck?
There's a little bit of scrape on the paint, but no dents or anything.
So how did this happen? Yeah. Were you on your cell phone having an argument with your girlfriend?
No. I was going into work on a Saturday and not paying attention. And
not paying attention.
Took too wide of a turn in a parking garage.
Oh. Uh-huh. Tommy did that once with a brand new microbus that we were test driving. A Vanagon, as a matter of fact. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't going to mention your little incident with the mirrors, but I will now. Now that you opened your big mouth.
Oh.
He was driving a pickup truck, a brand new pickup truck.
Oh, it was a Dodge.
Loaned to us by Bugsy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's driving along, and he gets to a street, and there are cars parked on both sides.
They were moving trucks. There were a lot of cars. There were a lot of pedestrians. I couldn't see.
There were guys on both sides, and he just floors it.
No, I didn't. I was very cautious. There were moving trucks, pedestrians. There were all kinds of people. It was downtown Boston. It was rush hour. I was getting nervous.
Oh.
This truck was much wider than it ever should have been, and I hit the passenger side mirror, and that thing flew right off. And of course, reacting to that, I... Naturally, anyone's reaction would be to swerve to the left.
Swerve to the left.
And within a split second, I removed the other mirror. Anyway, Aaron, so your mirror's still there, but you knocked the glass out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, some mirrors you can buy just the glass.
Well, I tried that, but I keep being told that because it's an electric mirror, they can't replace just the glass. They want me to replace the entire thing.
That's true.
Yeah, you got to do that.
You might have to do that, and that's big money.
And I'm wondering, why is that?
Well, it must be that the way the mirror is attached must have some... It must be bonded to the glass somehow, and it can't be replaced separately. So how much does the Ford dealer want for the whole mirror?
The dealer wants $180 to replace everything.
It includes the labor?
Yes.
Gee, that's pretty cheap, actually.
I can find the part for $80 in its own, so it's not a big repair.
Yeah.
And you can do it yourself, probably.
I know someone who can.
I mean, you removed it. You
you might as well replace it.
Do you have a friend that has tools?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it probably requires taking the door panel apart.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you can't put it back on, you don't really need that inside door panel. You can throw that in the garage. And then there's a plug you have to remove and a couple of screws that hold the thing onto the door. It's pretty easy.
All right.
Yeah, I think you should give it a shot. I mean, to save $100.
Sure,
yeah.
That's worth $100.
Yeah, and the worst case scenario is you screw it up and you go in with the door panel off and a bunch of clips and screws and whatever that you can't figure out.
And it'll be a lot cheaper.
And they'll put it together for you for $50.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
all right.
I would do it. Give it a shot.
Okay.
It's so cheap, though. Most mirrors, when you have to buy the entire assembly, are a lot more money than this. So at $180, mm-hmm. bucks, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Go for it, man.
All right.
And how do you happen to know the prices of these? Never mind.
No, I
I know.
See you, Aaron. I did happen to investigate the prices of those mirrors on that Dodge, and I know they're a lot more than this. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jessica from Orlando, Florida.
Hi, Jessica.
Jessica.
What's
Hi.
Up?
Hi. I drive a 1991 blue Mazda Miata. It's a convertible.
Okay.
It was my parents' midlife crisis car. They bought it brand new when I was a little kid.
I was my parents' midlife crisis.
How many miles on the Miata?
155,000.
Yeah.
So that car is wonderful. I like it a lot, and it works fine. But my grandmother drives a 1997 gold Toyota Camry, like classic grandma mobile.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so, but she can't drive anymore, and she wants to sell it to me, and it only has 25,000 miles on it. So my question for you guys is, do you think it'd be worth it for me to give up my new car?
No, you'll wake up the next morning, and your hair will be gray.
Oh, no.
Or worse, blue. It'll be blue. Yeah, you can't. You cannot, Jessica. I don't know how old you are, but you cannot drive a '97 Camry.
Okay.
And certainly not a gold one. Jeez, that says grandma like you can't believe.
So, I know, and that's what I'm scared of. But my parents just think that it'd be worth it in the long run. And
well, of course, it's the sensible thing to do.
Do
you have
but
a you have a boyfriend?
I don't.
You married?
I'm not.
Would you like to be?
Yes, I would. And that is part of the concern, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get a husband driving a Camry. But the Miata, you got a shot at it.
Yeah, geez, I don't know. I mean,
you don't have room for two cars?
No, I don't.
Is there anything wrong with the Miata that is pushing you in this direction?
No, there's not. I mean, it just has a lot of miles on it, and it's kind of old, but there's nothing wrong with it right now. I just figure, you know, it gets older, maybe starts breaking down.
Well,
I mean, this is a really tough choice because 25,000 miles, how can you pass that up?
I know.
But you have
Whoa. Why don't you take it, buy the thing, and then sell it? She's obviously gonna give you a deal on it.
Oh,
because you're
that's
a good granddaughter.
Idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Are there other grandchildren in the mix here who would feel a short change, no pun intended, if you bought it and then sold it?
No, I don't think so. My sister has a new car that works fine, and that's the only other grandchild.
She married?
She's not married either. No.
Oh, and she wouldn't want this either.
No.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that you've got you'll get the best price you can from grandma, and then you'll sell it. And then sell the Miata and buy a much newer Miata.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Except for I don't have any money.
Oh, so you need to get a loan. Of course, the only place you can get a loan now is from the federal government. You can't go to a bank and get a loan.
There are no banks anymore.
Well, maybe grandma can float a loan.
Maybe she could. Yeah, probably.
You can tell the grandma, look, lend me the money to buy the car, and in 6 months I'll pay you the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Right. Oh, just ask for a balloon payment.
Okay.
Right. You'll pay the interest for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can leverage this whole thing here. So you're not going to give grandma anything. And month one, this is how they did it in Wall Street now. Month one, you're going to give her an $11.16 interest payment.
Yeah, right.
Month two, you're going to do the same thing. By the time month six has rolled around, you will have sold it.
Oh, long, long before.
Right, and you will have also sold the Miata, at which point you make the balloon payment. Unless the used car market collapses. And if it collapses, you won't be able to make the balloon payment, and grandma is going to have to repo the car. But so far, you will have spent $66.96.
And I'll have a boyfriend and be married, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Right.
So you'll have a Lincoln.
I love it.
it sounds like I think I can do it. It's a great plan.
Well, wait. Jessica called us not because she wanted money advice. She wanted automotive advice.
Because we
don't know anything about money.
No, we've lost all our money. We know what I think. Jessica, I'm telling you, this is world-class advice. I don't see how this could possibly go wrong.
And you're going to find out for us.
Yeah. No, you can't drive a gold Camry.
Okay.
Trust us on that. Whatever you have to do to get this thing and then sell it at a profit. Do it. Get rid of it. Get rid of the Miata. Buy yourself a newer Miata.
Okay.
Do you work at Disney World, by the way?
I do not work at Disney World.
Would you like to?
I'm a substitute teacher.
You're a substitute teacher.
Yep.
Well, maybe you can moonlight at Disney World. Save up enough money. See you, Jessica.
Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, God. She'll be in the poorhouse any day now.
Oh, sure, with your advice.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a little break. And when we come back, I'll answer last week's puzzler. You remember the puzzler, right?
Do I remember the puzzler? Come on, will you?
You don't remember, do you?
No.
Well, it was about a dance.
Really? You know, I used to cut quite a rug in my day.
I remember that. That's why Mom made you stop wearing your ice skates in the living room. Anyway, we'll be back with the whole story in just a minute, along with more of your car questions, so please stay tuned.
If I live to be 101, would it be all right to die? And if I built a Pontiac, would it bring tears to its eye? And if I wrecked and broke my neck, would I be the last in line to duck inside where you could prop me up and I'd blithely pretend to drive in my cell?
And even though people in glass houses start winging stones anyway whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. You remember it yet?
No.
This was from my ballroom dancing series, and it was suggested by Dennis Vogel.
Still don't remember.
I didn't think so. Okay.
No.
This may help. You ready?
Yeah.
Sally invited 17 guests to a dance party at her estate in the Hamptons.
Oh.
And she assigned each guest a number from 2 to 18. She kept number 1 for herself, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And she labeled my brother number 2, also for obvious reasons. Now, here's the interesting part of the story. At one point in the evening, when everyone was dancing, everyone's paired up, Sally noticed that the sum of each couple's numbers was a perfect square. So everyone's wearing their number on their clothing, like dancers do in, you know, dance competitions.
Yeah.
And if you added up any couple's two numbers, they added up to a perfect square. And a perfect square is a number whose square root is an integer. So 4, for example, is a perfect square of 2. 9 is a perfect square of 3, da-da-da-da-da-da. And the question is, what was the number of Sally's dance partner?
Whoa.
Okay, so let's look at what we got here.
Yeah.
So we know that the sum of each pair has to be a perfect square.
Hmm.
All right, we got 4, 9, 16, and 25, actually, are the only perfect squares available to us.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at dancer 18. Dancer 18 must be paired up with dancer number 7. No choice.
Yeah.
Right? Adds up to 25. And for that same reason, 17 must be paired up with 8.
Yeah.
And 16 must be paired up with 9.
Yeah.
Right? So all those three pairs of dancers have 25 as their total.
Yeah.
So who's left? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 left.
Yeah.
And 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Well, let's look at our hostess, Sally.
Yeah.
And her possible dance partners. Remember, she's number 1.
She's number 1, right.
So she could be dancing with number 3 or number 8. That would add up to 9.
Yeah.
Or she could dance with 15, in which case that total would be 16.
Yeah.
Well, she can't dance with 8 because 8's already been taken by 17.
Yeah.
So now she's left with either 3 or 15 as potential partners.
Yeah.
If she chooses 3... then dancer number 6 must pair up with 10, right? Because 10 is, right?
10 and 6, yeah.
That's their only choice left, okay? And now there's no one left for dancer number 15. Because 15's only choice would have been either
one,
or 10, right?
Yeah.
So now, the only way it's going to work is that Sally has to dance with 15. He's, and even though he's got the brown shoes with the tuxedo, she's stuck dancing with him. 10 gets paired with 6, 13 with 3, and then you can figure out the rest of them.
All the rest.
They're easy. But the only one that Sally could dance with is number 15.
Wow.
Do we have a winner?
Yeah, we do. The winner this week is Jerry Diamond from Madison, Wisconsin. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Jerry's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our new book, Ask, Click, and Clack.
Really? And what, pray tell, do people ask, click, and clack?
You know, the usual stuff, cars, car repair, animal husbandry, how to dance the Britannia Saunter.
What?
Oh, boy.
Actually, it's a collection of our newspaper columns from over the years.
Yes, it is. And it's yours, Jerry, for being this week's puzzler winner. Congratulations.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, you can call us with your car questions at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I have a 1992 Plymouth.
Wait,
Ranger.
Whoa. Well,
name, who are you?
Name, rank, and serial number.
I'm sorry. My name's Lindy Pierce.
Lindy.
Hi, Lindy.
Hi, Lindy.
No last names,
hi,
please.
And where's Lindy from?
Lindy is from Owego, New York.
Owego.
Where's that?
It's right between Binghamton and Elmira.
Oh, of course. How could I have forgotten?
Yeah.
Okay, you have a 1992 what?
A Plymouth Voyager.
Okay.
And I use it on my mail route. My mail route's about 45 miles long.
This when you go cruise. This when you go cruising for guys. What is this mail? Oh, mail. M-A-I-L. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, and I have about 600 boxes, so I'm stopping and starting like 600 times every day.
Yeah.
And I noticed during the summer when I stopped to reload my mail because I had run out, that my car was sounding like it had, like, popcorn under the hood, or like the old U-Band commercial where it would go, pop, 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 pop. And it only seems to do it that one time, but it's really, really loud.
So, pop, 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 pop. What's, is it? Pop, 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 pop.
That's it right there. Yep.
Yep. So, for some reason.
And how long did it last?
Well, when I first heard it, I thought, dear Lord, what's that noise? And don't let this car blow up. And I turned the car back on and drove it some more.
Oh, so this is when you would turn the car off.
Yeah, no, the engine was totally off. And the next day I checked the antifreeze to see if that was the problem. And the antifreeze was full.
I had to ask a silly question, but does this thing have AC?
No, we took the AC unit out.
Okay, he left it by the side of the road. So it has no AC anymore. And it's doing this bop, 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 bop stuff. And if it's doing it with the key off, it usually indicates that the thing is beginning, this coolant is beginning to boil.
Okay.
And it's beginning to boil because either there's a thermostat that's sticking and that is not opening all the way, or a fan that isn't working. You know, this thing has an electric fan.
Okay.
And do you happen to know if the electric fan works? Have you ever heard it run?
I know the heater only works on high.
No, well, that's another thing. But there's a cooling fan that's right behind the radiator. If you open the hood, you know where the radiator is. That's where you put coolant, and you should never do that unless the engine's cool. But right behind it is a little electric motor attached to a fan blade.
Okay.
And when the engine is hot, that fan should be turning. So, for example, if you turn the engine off and then turn the key back on, but didn't start it, you know, just turned it to the on position, that
fan would be running.
That fan should run if the engine is really hot. And if it isn't running, that may be the reason that it's trying to boil over. And, of course, once you start moving with it, the air rushing through the radiator
cools it down.
Exactly, cools it down, and you don't need that fan. But every time you stop it, the heat that's built up is no longer getting dissipated, and it'll start to boil. So you may need the fan motor replaced. Maybe someone stole your fan.
Maybe okay.
The thermostat may be sticking, so it's not allowing the coolant to circulate, so too much heat is building up in the block of the engine and causing that boiling.
I'm voting for the fan.
Well, I think
she needs a fan.
I think you may need a fan. We need some fans ourselves, actually. But we could. But you may need a thermostat, so you need to take it someplace. And probably the easiest thing to do is for them to run it, get it up to operating temperature, and see if the fan comes on its own.
Okay.
One of the stops that you make out of these 600 stops a day is probably a repair shop.
Right.
So when you get in there, tell them what the story is, shut off the engine, and they'll fix it in 2 minutes.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, they'll look at it in 2 minutes.
They'll look at it in 2 minutes. They'll say, oh, yeah, Linda, you need a thermostat.
I will do that.
All right.
Good luck.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys.
See you later.
See ya.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John from Huntsville, Alabama.
Hey, John, what's going
Huntsville.
On?
Huntsville.
Yeah. I've got a problem with my transmission on my 99 Sebring convertible.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is I'll drive down the driveway forward or reverse, hit the bottom of the drive, put it in drive.
Uh-oh, and then nothing happens.
Yeah, you're right. It acts like it's in neutral.
Mm. How long does that act
How long does it last?
Well, it lasts as long as I put it back in neutral, rev it up to 2,500 or so, and then drop it back in gear, and then it's fine the rest of the day.
How many miles are on this Sebring?
Oh, 180-some thousand.
Whoa.
Now, we trust that you have checked the fluid level and maybe even changed the fluid?
I just checked the fluid, and it was fine.
Is it pink still?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Do you have a brother-in-law you could sell it to?
I've thought about that.
Well, I dare say that I think the transmission is probably near the end of the line.
Oh, you don't want to tell me that.
I didn't want to tell you that, but you forced me.
Because it does have a couple other weird things.
Yeah?
Like after it starts running, and, you know, it's fine all day until I take a hard right turn.
Yeah.
And then it'll slip out. But if I put it in low or the next gear up, it's fine.
Oh, you could have a bad motor mount.
Ooh.
Right, that could account for that. And it's actually popping it into neutral.
Yeah, I like that.
But when it does its thing in the morning, have you tried using other gears besides drive? Have you tried dropping it into low, for example?
Well, if I leave it in low and drive, you know, if I start and throw it in low and then drive down, I don't have the problem.
And then you can pop it into drive, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, is in drive, it's fine after the first time it happens.
Oh, but you can't prevent it from happening the first time at all.
Other than luck.
No, so let me get this right. You back out of the driveway.
Yep.
You're at the bottom of the driveway, you stopped. You put it in drive, and the engine revs up, but the car doesn't go.
Yes.
But if you put it into low.
Instead.
Good question.
You don't know the answer
to that. Well, you haven't done that.
I might have done that.
Yeah, I would suspect that you're going to have the same result.
Yeah.
Which means it goes back to transmission rebuild.
Yeah, but otherwise it's a bad engine mount. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, well, that's cheaper to fix, but I don't think it's going to fix the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to burst your bubble.
Oh, it's the way life goes.
Hey, you got one out of two.
Yeah, I still have fun driving the car.
Well, if you do, you know, you could put a used transmission in it. And it's a fun car, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can go to the junkyard. And find yourself
we
a
We don't
train.
Call them junkyards anymore.
Oh,
we call
don't.
Them
that's right.
Recycling centers.
I'm so sorry. The Nissan Baum brothers would never forgive me.
That's right.
For using the term.
Junk.
Junk.
They'd never forgive us for not calling the junk they sell recycled stuff. See you, John. Good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tack. I'm calling from Liberty, Missouri.
What's your name again?
It's Tack. T like Tommy?
Yeah.
A-C.
T-A-C. Is that a nickname?
Yes, it is. It's short for my last name, which is Takalaski, but I can't tell you that.
Oh, a fine Polish girl.
Lithuanian.
Lithuanian, almost the same.
Takalaski. All right, and where are you from again?
I'm calling from Liberty, Missouri.
Oh, Liberty, Missouri. Got it. Okay. So what's up, Tack?
Well, I have a 1988 Camry with 167,000 miles on it, and my father bought the Camry in December of 1987, and unfortunately only lived a couple more years. So the car has been in our family, mother, sister, me now, and every time it's time to make a repair, which is often, several times a year, it's something, I say, is it time to get rid of it? And I think it's time to donate the car and say goodbye. But I think that we need to have a memorial service of some kind to say goodbye, because there's a lot of emotional attachment, but the problem is we don't all live near one another, so we can't just throw our memories into the sunroof and sing Kumbaya. We have to do something long distance.
Oh, so you know what you need to do? Everyone needs a little keepsake.
Yeah, like a tire.
Everybody take a tire home. Well, what do you mean?
You can kick it once in a while.
We loved Dad. We don't want to kick it. No,
kicking a tire is symbolic.
It's symbolic.
It's a test of good health.
You can leave it in your living room. You know, and it would be a nice thing to have.
But there are certain pieces of the car that aren't necessary anymore. Perhaps like the ashtray.
Okay.
So somebody could get the ashtray.
Yeah.
Well, the headliner's kind of hanging. Could we trim off parts of that?
You could trim off pieces of the headliner. Oh, and frame them.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
right?
Good.
You could do what do they call that thing? A collage.
Oh, okay.
Right? A little piece of headliner, maybe a little piece of seat cushion, piece of the rug.
So these could be my Christmas gifts to my family members this year?
Oh, yeah.
You take out a spark plug here and there.
There are plenty of things you can take off without disturbing the vital integrity of the car.
Okay.
If it still has any.
That the migrant farm workers won't need when I donate it to them.
Right. Yeah. They're not going to need an ashtray.
What about the stickers? Like, he used to work for Department of Defense, and there's one of those on the side. Can we maybe scrape those off and give them to the brothers?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. No, I think that you need to, first of all, do a nice little Christmas little thing with a framed photograph of the car, maybe from a couple of different angles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could set up a little website, but that would be too impersonal.
Yeah.
I think the personal thing would be photographs.
Yeah.
Of the car. And then a little piece of the car. It doesn't have to be big. Maybe even a square-inch little piece of the headliner, inside the frame, stuck, under the glass. A little piece of Dad's car. That'd be touching.
Well, I also have the vehicle invoice from Cherry Hill Toyota with my dad's signature on it.
Everyone needs a copy of that stuck behind the picture.
Now, how about all these many, many pages of receipts from the repairs and
I think the migrant workers are going to get those.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not get carried away here, Tack.
Okay.
I think we got your whole Christmas thing taken care of. You're good to go.
Well, this is great because now I don't have to do any Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
That's perfect in this economy. I'll just work on this.
All right. Well, get right on it.
Thank you so much. Terrific idea.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, boy. Oh. All right, look, before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Okay, but first I have a letter here about our podcast. Are you ready for this?
Do I have a choice? Even if I'm not ready, am I going to hear it anyway?
No. It's from Christopher Roberts, and he writes as follows. Hey, guys, I have an 11-year-old son named Karsten and an 8-year-old daughter named Katia. Using technological wizardry only available to young people, Karsten figured out how to download podcasts of your show. He shared his discovery with his sister, and they now listen to Car Talk shows every night when they're going to sleep. I'm hoping that they will quickly get bored with your show like I have. But in the meantime, I would appreciate it if you could tell them to go to sleep right now, since they are probably listening to this, and if they made it this far, it's surely past their bedtime. Thank you for providing this invaluable parenting service. Yeah, sure.
All right, Karsten, Katya, if you're out there listening to us right now in your beds...
Yeah, pay no attention to your father. He's just trying to ruin your fun. Stay up as late as you want.
Okay, well, now that we've taken care of that, Karsten and Katya, you really don't want to go to sleep now, because when we come back, I'm going to have the new puzzler from my odometer series.
Whoops, I think we just lost him.
Maybe. Anyway, we'll have more of your car questions, too, so please stay tuned, everybody.
Red light, green light, here we go. I really motivated, burning up the road. Four carburetors and a hydromatic drive. I'm a tearing down main at 105. Oh, 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 me. Take a look at that big Cadillac. Oh, golly gee. With the four yellow wheels and the red on the back. I'm a telling you, Jack. Woo! I love that pink Cadillac, Cadillac, Cadillac. Oh, well, yesterday morning I walked by the lot. I saw the pink Cadillac and man, it sure looked hot. The salesman sold me that pretty little boat for no money down and $100 note. So, oh, oh, me. Take a look at that pink Cadillac. Oh, golly gee. With the four yellow wheels and the red on the back. I'm a-telling you, Jack. Woo! I love that pink Cadillac, Cadillac, Cadillac.
And even though Juan Valdez spits out a mouthful of coffee whenever he hears us say it, This is NPR, National Public Radio.
We're back.
Woke me up again.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
Yeah, go.
And this just came in fairly recently, and I know why. It's from Martin Cohen, and he says, it's always bad when you read a letter that says, no offense, guys, but your Puzzlers of late have been less than stellar.
Oh, really?
Not to worry. Help is on the way. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Odometers on modern cars go from 0 to 999999, right? There's no tenths.
No.
All the tenths are done by the trip odometer.
Yeah.
Okay? Imagine that someone managed to reach 999,999 miles, so the thing would read all nines.
Yeah.
If you counted all the times that the digit 1 appeared, how many ones would be counted? Oh, my. So... go ahead, start. Maybe by next week.
Oh, are you kidding? There's a million of them.
Maybe.
Well, there's close to 300,000.
In doing this, count each time that one appears in a number. So, for example, you would count three times for 1,101. There'd be three ones in that number.
Of course.
Okay, the next number would be 1,102, and there'd be two ones in that. At some point, you get to 1,111, where you'd have four, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay?
Yeah, I got
it. So how many times is the digit one going to appear in going from zero, all zeros to 999999? Just six nines. Okay, you got it? Now, if you think you know the answer.
Wait a minute, I would like to know.
By the way.
Is there a clever way to do this?
Yes, there is.
Oh, other than just counting them all, which there are a million.
There are a million numbers between zero and all nines. There are exactly a million numbers. That's a hint. Okay, yeah, there is a clever way to do it, and it's actually pretty simple and elegant, and it has nothing to do with odometers, really, but it just happens to be a tie-in.
Yeah,
now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the bottom of a Roland DP990 88-key digital piano with hammer-action keyboard, of course, 3-foot pedals, USB connectivity, MIDI input and output, stereo speakers, dual headphone jacks, built-in metronome, and a young evening gown-clad public radio listener to lie across the top of it. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there. I'm Anne-Marie, and I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie from Seattle, Washington. What's up, Anne-Marie?
I have a 1995 Ford Mustang that is only getting about 200 miles per tank of gas.
What had you been getting?
You know, I really never paid attention until I realized I was getting less. But I know that it holds 15 gallons. I've changed the oxygen sensors and the distributor cap along with the spark plugs.
Oh, really? So you're not even getting 15 miles to the gallon.
An average with highway and road, I should be getting about 21 at least.
Right. And have you changed the kind of driving you do? I mean, one thing that can really kill your mileage is short little trips. And number two, having your boyfriend drive the car. Actually, maybe number one, the boyfriend, and number two, short little trips. Well, the worst combination was having your boyfriend drive short little trips. You can get down to single digits.
What kind of driving do you do?
Typically, I just drive to the train station, and it's a little commuter car.
How far is that, the train station?
Maybe about 5 miles.
5 miles.
Oh, that's not bad.
Okay, and you don't go very fast?
On the highway, maybe.
Oh, so it's 5 miles. It's 5 miles, but some of that is highway driving.
No, but when I do drive on the highway, I speed just a little bit.
Oh, okay, so the train station is 5 miles from home on secondary roads.
Mm-hmm.
So you do 50 miles a week getting back and forth to the train station.
About that, yes.
Okay, And then on weekends.
And then when I do my casual driving, it is on the highway. And
does anyone else drive the car besides you?
No.
No?
I'm the only one that knows how to drive a manual. He doesn't get it.
Ah. Oh, who's he?
My boyfriend.
The boyfriend. he doesn't get it.
I drive the manual. I work on the cars.
Oh.
What size engine is in this thing?
3.8.
3.8, six cylinder.
Yes.
Well, it's possible. And you have a jillion miles on it?
It's almost 200. 100,000.
That's my feeling. The reason your mileage is so lousy is you have...
Your engine is lousy.
you may have lousy compression. I mean, one of the ways the engine squeezes energy out of the fuel is by compressing the mixture of gasoline and air before it combusts it. And if you ain't squeezing it so much, then you're not getting as much of an explosion when the spark plug fires.
Okay.
If you did a compression test, even though the engine runs well, you may find out your compression is like 100 pounds per cylinder. And it's supposed to be 150. And that would account for the drop in mileage. But let's assume you do a compression test and it's okay. Not likely. But if
No, it's unlikely. It's very unlikely.
Yes, it's likely that you're going to find out the compression is low. But if it turns out to be okay, then it could easily be a bad thermostat that's causing this.
Okay.
If it's not reaching operating temperature, then the computer thinks that the engine is cold and needs extra fuel. And it's putting in extra fuel all the time, and that can cut your mileage by 50%. So I would check the compression first. You probably have a compression gauge, right, Emery?
I do.
But if the compression's good, then I would change the thermostat.
Okay.
And hope for the best. Call us back. We expect a written report.
Good luck.
Let's see, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
Bye. 888-CARTS.
I
could have sworn it was the boyfriend.
Yeah, me too.
You know what? Maybe he's driving it when she ain't looking. When she parks. No, she parks at the train station.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to drive.
Maybe that's what you think.
Maybe he's trying to learn.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jacob from Pacifica, California. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Jacob. How are you?
Pacifica.
I'm standing by my trusty Jeep Wrangler 07. It's a two-door, by the way, the real Wrangler.
The real Jeep. That's the only real Jeep.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Lately I've been, just driving like normal down Highway 1 to Santa Cruz, and like if the road gets a little choppy, the wheels wobble a little bit, and say I'm going over 55. The thing is, the right wheel keeps wobbling. After the rest of the wheels, if you hit a bump, the wheels wobble just a touch and then go directly on their course again. The right wheel continues to wobble.
How do you know that?
I feel it. I absolutely feel that right wheel. I mean, I have to slow down and then it stops wobbling. It feels like it's almost bouncing.
How can you, when you feel it, how can you tell it's the right wheel?
Because he's hanging his head out and looking at the left one.
I think so. It's just a matter of feeling it. First off, the steering wheel is wobbling. And it just seems that all the vibrations coming from the right side. Do I know? I'm not 100%.
No,
that's really
you don't.
What it feels
okay.
like.
Yeah. Of course, it's impossible to know.
Oh, okay.
But don't you realize that the wobbling wheel is a very dangerous thing?
That's why he called.
No, I'll bet you this has been happening for months.
Of course.
You've probably been driving around like that, like a knucklehead. Am I right?
That's right.
This is dangerous.
It could be very dangerous, but considering that you probably only have about 35,000 miles on this thing.
25.
I'm guessing you need new tires.
Oh, the tires are good.
Nah.
Oh, because I just replaced them.
Huh?
Well, I had a blowout, and so I had to replace them and then rotate them. And I'm looking at really good tread at the moment.
All right. So, by the way, did it do this with the other tires before you blew one out?
No.
So you could have a bad tire, but if you did, you'd probably feel it at high speed too. You don't feel anything at high speed.
No, it's like I don't feel anything. I could be going 75 and no problem.
Well, you could have. I mean, with a vehicle so new, it's unlikely that you have any tie rod worn out or anything like that, or ball joints.
What do you think about? I don't know. Maybe strut damage.
No, you've got no struts in this.
Okay.
This is first of all, this is the experience that you bought into, Jacob, when you bought this thing. If this thing handled smoothly, you might as well be driving an Impala. This is what Jeep owners yearn for.
They yearn for a wiggle.
That sense that you could lose control of the vehicle at any second, driving at high speed. Because that's the feel that they were trying to engineer into this thing, and they managed to do it with 1950s engineering. I mean, the suspension of this thing was, I think, originally designed by General George S. Patton. And they really haven't changed
it.
They haven't changed it a whole lot. I mean, it's a pretty crude suspension this thing has, as evidenced by the ride you get and the poor handling. And one of the unfortunate things about that is any kind of vibration that gets set up, gets telegraphed through the whole vehicle, actually, but mainly through the entire steering mechanism, and can come back as an oscillation in the steering wheel. So that's what you feel.
Uh-huh.
The wheel's going back and forth. And to that end, when they realized that people are actually going to drive these things at speeds greater than 22 miles an hour, they installed a steering damper to eat up some of those vibrations. And I wouldn't be surprised if your damper is worn out.
Ah.
And you may be, depending
which
on...
Which is unusual for only 25,000 miles.
But it is unusual.
Yeah.
But you may be able to buy a heavy-duty damper.
Okay.
If you look in some of those Jeep, you know, enthusiast magazines...
Mm-hmm.
You must get all of those, right?
Everyone.
Everyone.
Online. I don't pay for them.
Well, exactly. Somebody must offer a heavy-duty steering damper. And I
okay.
bet you that's what you need. Even if yours is okay, you might have to go for the heavy-duty one. But just to be on
all
the
right.
safe side, take it into either the Jeep dealer or your regular repair shop and have them check over the tie rods and the ball joints and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, just to make sure.
Just to make sure nothing's falling off. But when they reassure you that nothing's falling off, tell them you want to change the steering damper. That'll fix it, I bet.
All right.
To some extent. I don't think you'll ever be able to get this gone completely. I think that's part of what a Jeep is all about. And it's telling you, slow down. You may just be driving too fast on roads that this thing shouldn't be on.
Sound like my girlfriend.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, your girlfriend's probably right. See you, man.
All right, take it easy.
Thanks for your call. Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Shanda Webb.
Shanda.
Yep, you got it.
Where are you from, Shanda?
Bozeman, Montana.
Bozeman. What's going on in Bozeman?
We just got our first snow early this week, actually.
No kidding.
Jeez,
yep.
Bozeman,
so,
snow.
Quite a bit.
So other than snow, what's going on in Bozeman? I mean, if we would have, you know, if we got, you know, the hankering to come out to Bozeman.
Which we don't.
Which we probably wouldn't, but if we were, what would be the first thing you'd want to show us if we were in Bozeman?
Well, of course, we have the mountains, so
tons
of skiers, snowboarders.
Those are mostly rocks, right? The mountains?
Yeah, yeah.
We're not
exactly.
interested.
Rocks. What else
yeah,
you got?
Hiking.
Got
not interested
fatigue.
In that either.
Fly fishing, all
wait
that.
Wait a minute, I'm writing these down. Rocks, fatigue, probably bear, right?
Oh, yeah, bear. Actually, we just had an attack of a bear this morning at
okay.
our garden.
Okay, write down certain death by bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
And snow.
Cold weather.
Oh, yeah, and snow.
I can't wait. So what's going on, Shanda?
Well, it's so funny. You were just talking about Jeeps, and
yeah.
I happen to have a 2000 Jeep Cherokee.
Of course you do.
Okay.
And the front windshield actually slipped out of the top casing, the black sealant that goes around the windshield.
Yeah.
It slipped about a half an inch or so.
Oh.
And when I went to get my oil changed the other day, the guy was like, whoa, did you know your windshield has slipped down? And he said that was very unusual and that it could be really dangerous. So I guess that was my concern. How dangerous is it? And then if I do get it fixed, is it going to slip down again?
Well,
I seem to have the worst luck with casings in cars.
had this car been in an accident?
No, as far as I know, not.
Had the windshield ever been replaced?
No, it doesn't look like it. It looks like it is the original windshield.
Oh, you didn't buy it new?
No, we were the second owners, I believe.
Jeez, I've never heard of this happening on a new vehicle.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if the windshield did get replaced at some point in the past, and it was done improperly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you need to go to a glass shop, automotive glass repair, and they'll take out the window and they'll reset it.
Reset. Okay, so they can reset it.
Yes, well, they can.
They can if they don't break it, taking it out.
Well, yeah, I was wondering if they'd replace the whole thing or, you know, how costly that if they, you know. If
they shouldn't have to replace the whole thing.
No, you don't.
They should be able to reset it the right way, and it won't do this anymore.
Right, and more than that, it's ready to fall out by itself anyway, so it should be easy to get it out. So you haven't noticed that the vehicle's getting taller, have you? I mean, you have more headroom in there? You're able to wear a hat now where you couldn't before?
No, not really, no.
So what's coming? Is there a gap now? Can you actually see?
Yeah, you can. On the outside, you can see a little gap.
But you can't feel any air coming through there.
No air and leaking, no rain leaking, you know.
Well, you better get it taken care of before it falls out completely.
Yeah, before the snow starts, too late for that.
That's what the guy's concern was. He was like, before winter hits, and of course, we've already got winter here. But so it could be dangerous through the winter.
You know, it could be. Could be shrinkage, Jerry. Maybe the glass has shrunk.
It could well be.
Could be shrinkage.
Well,
But I would take it. They'll figure it out in a minute.
Okay, so definitely take it. Okay, thank you, guys.
Yeah, what's
going to happen is the window will fall out at some point. If it really is getting detached from its moorings, it could fall out. And that could be embarrassing.
Promise us that you'll do it this week.
Oh, really? So
I would.
All right.
No, he wouldn't, okay. But you should. See you, Shanda.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it certainly happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
I have.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug, the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Shangri-La Duck Foie Gras, Shrimp Nam Pla, Bacala, Moussaka, Petit Pois, Harissa, and Stella Artois, last hurrah, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Buzzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our hair restoration specialist is Hedda Harrigan. Our director of vengeance is Ewell Rudy Day. Our staff prestidigitator is Oh Look Adair. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known in Harvard Square to the recumbent bike riders in Star Wars t-shirts as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother. I know that.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 843, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you can try out our new smart database in which you can find previous Car Talk calls based on whatever criteria interests you.
So, for instance, if I wanted to find every call in which we've ever discussed the Fiats, for example,
you'd simply go to the search box and type in the word
F-I-R-E, fire!
That or Fiat, F-I-A-T, or whatever interests you.
And if I type in, like, moron and knucklehead, what do I get?
All of our calls come up. Check out our new searchable database of calls at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Count Dracula runs back to his coffin and slams the lid whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.